Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Fredericksburg Area Museum this morning, and one of my favorite people in the world, the curator of collections, Kylie Thompson, is in. Kylie, it's so good to have you and just to talk curator stuff for an hour.
Oh, I am so excited. You know that is my bread and butter. We're going to talk about everything.
You have one of the most interesting jobs. And the great thing is, whenever I'm over there to the museum for something else, you're like in the hallway or you're somewhere, you know, looking at these colonial dresses or, you know, artifacts that you found. Your office is just surrounded by artifacts. It is a really cool job.
Oh, yeah. I tell everybody that it's not a job. I love what I do, and to be able to do that every day. And like you mentioned, my office is the collection space. So we have over 4,000 objects in the collection. And aside from those that are out on loan, they're all in that building. And probably a good like 70% of them are in my office with me. So just to be surrounded by that history all day long, you have to really be able to focus, because it's very easy to just turn around to the shelf and go down a crazy rabbit hole of just looking at stuff.
I am so glad you said that, because so often when after we finish what we're doing and we're just sitting there talking in your office, I will look around and see stuff. And it's so hard sometimes to concentrate on, pay attention to what Kylie's saying, pay attention, because you have to look at this stuff and you just think, I wonder what's in that trunk. I wonder what are those papers? What do they tell you?
And there's new stuff every time. So if you were to walk in right now, there is stuff all over my desk because I'm processing a bunch of new stuff we got in. But then there's also a giant barrel from A. Smith Bowman Distillery in there, as well as stuff from the Princess Anne Hotel. So it's just so fascinating because you can have something from the 1800s, but then you have something from yesterday. And there's all these very intricate and deep stories to be told.
And I don't know, how do you catalog something like that? Because you have to have a system where you can get things, because I can just see someone from the museum staff saying, hey, you know, we're doing an exhibit or a talk on this, and can you get me? And you have to be able to get that kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's actually this pretty tedious process. So when something comes in, I'm kind of the initial line where it's like, okay, does it match our collecting scope?
Yeah.
And then it goes in front of a committee who has ultimately the final say.
I wondered that.
And that way, too, that protects history in the collection, so you don't have one person making all the decisions. And so once it gets through them, I catalog it, where I give it descriptions, I measure it, take pictures, do all these different things to preserve it in that very moment. And then it gets stored. And what's fantastic is, this is just my little party trick, I have an app that has the entire collection on it
that I can
just pull it up. So we use Catalog It. And, you know, if you're like, okay, tell me about that one table. Well, I know that table's from 1820. So I'm going to type in 1820 table. And it's right there.
It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I guess that also then tells you where it's located.
Yep. Says where it's located. I can look at when it's been on exhibit, anytime it's been used. So if I use it for a program, I'll give it a tag. So it's like, okay, well, what did I do for dark history last year? These are the ones that I use. So there's all these different fields. It lets us notate who gave it to us, if they give us the story behind it, which is super duper important. And so cataloging takes hours, especially if it's a bunch of pictures, because I scan them all and each picture needs a description. So it's, if I'm absolutely in my office in the zone, you know I'm cataloging.
To do all of this, what kind of background, or what kind of, I'm sure you have some kind of a degree that fits into this.
So I have a Master's of Library and Information Science with a focus in Archives and Records Management from the University of South Carolina. So my background is in and of itself cataloging and organizing, especially handling those older documents and older books and all those things that need that special attention. Because the thing about artifacts is there's no one way to do things because they all have different needs. So it's, you know, I can spend years researching how to properly, you know, work with photographs, but every time I get one, it's going to be something different. So it really keeps you on your toes.
Oh, yes. So is this, did you collect things as a kid? How did you get interested in this?
I've always been interested in history, but the turning point for me is I received a box of postcards from my grandfather. And what happened was during World War II, instead of using his leave to come home, he said, I'm going to travel. Well, he would only travel to Rome. So that was his thing. And when he would go around, he would just take these postcards. He'd never write on them, but he would save all of them. And just in between all of those were photographs of him in front of the Colosseum and all these different places.
Yeah.
And so to see that side of him, because he never talked about it, I only knew this through these postcards. I was like, I have to save this story because this is a piece of him that I didn't know. And from there, it snowballed. And so now I have at my house a pretty insane collection of rare books. I collect Victorian fashion plates, which are basically hand-drawn dresses out of magazines.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I collect a bunch of Fredericksburg things. So I have a box from the Fredericksburg hardware store that had nails in it that I used to put my planting supplies in for my plants.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fascinating. We can do a show sometime just about postcards.
Yes.
And the stories that postcards can tell. And in your case, those weren't written on, but ones that have been, I mean, I have a collection of some postcards from like the 1900s and, you know, that have been stamped and have, you know, words, you know, the things that people wrote on them. And I mean, they tell stories.
Oh, yeah. And you have to think about it, too, is you have such a small amount of space to say what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And also, too, you thought so highly of that person that you wrote a postcard for them. It's that snapshot that you don't get through letters or anything else. And plus, everyone loves the little cancellations with the dates on them.
Right, totally.
But you can go to so many of the antique stores around town, too. And a lot of those postcards they have in the little baskets will have writing on them.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, just look, because you're getting that glimpse back. And letters and postcards are so fantastic. We actually just acquired, it's from the estate of Billy Campbell. So Billy Campbell and his father, Al, and his mother, Dorothy, they all lived on Charlotte Street. And Al was a World War II veteran, and Billy was a Vietnam veteran. I have their letters from both wars that they're writing home. So Al is writing to Dorothy, and she's writing him back. So it's hundreds of letters. And then Billy's writing home as well. So it's been so fun to go through those and digitize them and just put them in order and make sense of them all.
Those kinds of things, letters or postcards, it just gives you a glimpse of a person's personality.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Especially when they're not allowed to talk about everything.
Yeah.
So you can see them trying to do small talk, but they're so sweet because it always ends with something like, I hope it's not long before I'm home. Or, you know, those little things that just make us people.
Right. And you look back, because if all you ever see of especially grandparents or people, older people, is, you know, black and white pictures, they're just like, they at one time were just like us.
Yeah. And I think there's always a disconnect, too. When we see black and white, we think it's so far off that you can't connect with them. So I think that is why so many people love, I don't know if you've seen it, where they'll colorize old footage from the early 1900s.
Yeah.
And it just gives you a whole new perspective.
It does.
But it's, people have always done what we do now. They have laughed, they've loved, they've cried, they've been mad. It's just a different time. We have different technology.
Yeah. Quick break. Catlee Thompson here from the Fredericksburg Area Museum, the curator there. And we're going to talk about things you can do to preserve some things that you may have at home. Coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Hello.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Kylie Thompson in this morning from the Fredericksburg Area Museum, famva.org, to get information on the Fredericksburg Area Museum. And we will talk about some upcoming programs coming up at the museum, too, as we go along this morning. So this is the time of year, and usually this time of year, you and I get together, and we probably will again this year and do a video or two just about preserving things, because as families start getting together or you run into things and you don't know, we all have things that you have been passed around or just are family heirlooms, and we don't know what to do with them.
Oh, yeah. And now is the time to do it, because the most important thing is if you can get the story behind these things, because they don't become worthless if you don't have the story. But coming from a curator, it makes my life a lot harder if you don't write it down. But yeah, now is the time to go through the attic, go through the garage, that chest that's in the corner of your closet, and just take a look. And even if you've looked at it before, take a look again, and especially if you're surrounded by your family members, because there are stories there. And even if you look at a photo and say, I have no idea who this is, you may just start thinking of other memories. And that is what history is. It's a collection of memories. Just, we don't think the everyday counts, but it actually does.
And you've explained to me, and that on a lot of times pictures, even though you may not know the person in the picture, it might be in front of a landmark or on a street or something. So there are things even to be gained with pictures that you don't know who the people are.
Oh, for sure. And that is so important to our local narrative as well. The first thing that comes to mind is flood photos from 1942. Mm. So as you see people waiting down the street, you can't see their faces, but the JCPenney's in the background, or the furniture store, all these different places that are no longer there. And those pictures are so valuable to us, because otherwise, how many businesses on Caroline Street, if you were to look at one building, could you name that have existed in that building? Probably not many.
Right.
So every little bit helps. And also, too, it's fun to see how Fredericksburg has changed. And it's really cool when there's a picture of you as a child in front of the Mary Washington Monument, but then 75 years ago, there's these other photos. And
yeah, or the bushes, if there weren't bushes there.
Yes. It has actually helped me solve a lot of mysteries, too. So I've talked about it so much, I've probably talked about it here, but there's this gas lamp in front of Town Hall. And I was trying to pinpoint when that went in. So I went back and I pulled photos all the way back to about 1915. And you see the lamp, then you don't see the lamp. Then you see two, then you only see one.
Interesting.
So I was able to use those photos to figure out what happened. It's actually pretty wild. At one point, there were two lamps, but someone tied their horse to one of them, and the horse got spooked and took out the lamp, and the city said, we're not going to replace that. That's too much money. But it led us to, I'm drawing a blank. I never do this on this one, but I think it was the 1950s, they decided to kind of tap into the historic roots of the town. So they went and they found a historic gas, it's an actual 1840s gas lamp, ordered from Baltimore, and it was shipped down here.
And they put it back up?
Yep, and that's the one that's out front right now.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we learned that all through photographs. So please look at your photographs, even what's behind, like you said, what's behind the people.
Well, and the sad thing, and there's a bunch of pictures of me as a kid that my parents took with Polaroid cameras, and they're starting to degrade.
Yeah.
So that's where digitizing things really can come into play.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing about digitizing too is if you don't want to keep the photos, that is okay. You are allowed to not want to keep stuff.
Yeah, because you can't keep everything.
Right. And even if you decide to donate it to the museum, because we do take photographs, or like the Heritage Center, still keep a copy for yourself. And there are these scanners available on Amazon. When they go on sale, they're like $60. It's the Espen V19, something like that. And they're just these tiny little scanners that plug into your computer via USB.
Yeah.
And those will get the job done.
Okay.
It's tedious to sit there and scan photos, but it's definitely worth it.
Oh, it is, because I did that years ago with the pictures that my mom had, and I put them on a thumb drive, and you can go back and look at all that kind of thing. And one of these days, I'm going to try to organize them even better. But yeah, it is tedious, but it certainly is worth it.
Oh yeah, and there will be a day where you're gonna. You're either going to have a memory or someone's going to ask you and you're going to wish you had that.
Yeah.
And also, too, I mean, we've just talked about it when I showed you the collection here. Having it digitized makes it so much easier to quickly find it and in that moment be able to show people, because that's my favorite thing about the app is if you were to come ask me about something, I could show you a picture and you may know more. And I can, in that moment, get more information.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, it's so... I have so many family heirlooms that I'm not quite sure, was it my grandmother, mm-hmm. was it a great-grandmother, who made this? And those kinds of things, ask people. And that's why during the holidays, take some time to do that, because once they're gone, I have a whole bunch of things that I think mm-hmm. might be, but I don't know.
Right, and that's the hardest part. And even if... The fun thing about talking about family lore, sometimes you'll get some insane story where you may not even believe, but that's still important because there's a bit of truth in there somewhere.
Right.
And just write it down, or even sit down with your grandparents or whoever, put on your phone, record just a conversation, because you'll want that later on. And like you said, when people are gone, they're gone, and every person is important to history. You don't have to do something major and that ends up on the page of a book to be important to the area.
Yeah.
Fredericksburg is made up of the tiny stories, and that's why we are this incredible town that we are.
And one of the things that makes this town so great and it is an incredible, and just the way between you and the Heritage Center, you both have documented so many things. And you can find so many things.
Absolutely. So between the two groups, we have a lot of the big objects, but they have so many papers and journals and photographs.
Real family kind of things.
Yeah. And that comes in handy too, because a lot of the times when I'm doing research, it'll say, well, the so-and-so family has this legend that this happened. Well, I can go and I can pull these family papers or look in the family Bible, and you can piece together bigger stories. And actually what's really fun is, so I just got this object and it has not gone through the committee yet, but I'm really excited about it. So what it is, it's from the 1890s, and it is a catalog for pharmacists.
Yeah.
So, and it belonged to Johnston, which is where Hyperion is now. And what happened was this person, which was Florence May Embry, she made a scrapbook out of it. And what she would do, she had cut newspaper clippings of things like dances that were coming up or when they mentioned family members or friends, and she would paste them in. So on the surface, if you're looking at that, you're like, this doesn't make any sense. But because the family member was able to say, no, these are the things that Florence loved. These are the people she loved. This is why she did that. All of a sudden, this object has so much more dimension to it. And it's just such a cute little story that you're just scrapbooking the newspaper articles. It's really sweet.
Oh, it's with what you do is just so it's so valuable. And there are so many things that us individually you can do, even though any of the things that I have aren't going to end up in a museum someday, but they're just as valuable to the family.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, take a pencil, write. You can write on the back of photographs.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a guess, just put a little question mark by it. Like you said, digitize, ask questions, do all these things. And if you're going to store your photographs, try to stay away from plastic boxes.
I was just going to ask you about that, because I know this is the one thing, one thing that I know that, and we all do it, but we need to, we need to get away from that, especially if you want to preserve things for the next generation.
Because everyone has the best intentions, but we just live in a world where not all plastics are created equal or all materials are created equal. And objects are so easy to love to death. And that's what we do time and time again. So the best thing you can do is, a lot of the plastics are PVC, so they're going to off-gas and discolor, and they have this acid in them that's going to damage the photos. So in an ideal world, you want an acid-free box or these acid-free photo protector sleeves that you can put in a binder. And you can get those online. Just be careful if you're ordering from Amazon. Read the reviews, because, again, not all materials are created equal.
Yeah.
You could always go the super archival route and get the museum boxes, but those get pricey, and not everyone can afford that. I mean, I at home, there are some things I'm like, I really should have this in a box, but I don't have the funds right now for that.
To buy that,
But yeah, so even if you go find a photo box for now, just to get them out of the light, keep them out of, you know, attics or basements where temperature's all over the place. And if you're storing them in a bedroom or a closet, if it's attached to a bathroom, try not to do that, because all that moisture in the air is going to get to the photos. So put it under your bed, put it in another interior space that's not susceptible to all those things.
And if you have something, because I see people, especially with both pictures and even newspaper articles, if you put them in a frame and you put them up, they're gonna degrade so much quicker.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So newspapers, they are the bane of my existence. They want to self-destruct so badly, especially as, you know, the early ones were made from cotton and linen, so they last a little longer. But the new stuff, it's so overprocessed that, like that, it's gone. And I know everyone wants the real thing out. I do, too.
Right.
But in that case, make a copy, take a photo of it, print a facsimile, so then you can have the real one put away in a box, because that sunlight is going to, like you said, degrade it so fast, and you're never going to be able to get that back. And even if the lettering isn't fading, that paper is going to become more brittle, and the second you go to move it, it's going to just fall apart.
Right. So you're right. We all want to be able to, if we have that newspaper article from World War II, or when JFK was shot, or something, and you want to show it, but like you say, get it. You can get copies made that look. Especially if you want to spend the money, you can get some really good copies made.
Absolutely. And my trick is, I do this at the museum. They actually use it for like forensics. It's this little ruler, and it's got like a rainbow on it. And what it does is it helps kind of color correct when I'm scanning.
Yeah.
I just use our office copier, and I print it on nice cardstock, and I try to cut and contour around it to make it look as real as possible, and then that can go back in a frame. And I try to really make sure that if I do that, when you come to the museum, you know. But there are ways to do that. And also, too, with newspapers, be careful where you store them, because if you have a newspaper article sitting on top of other papers, it's going to leave a nice yellow outline.
I've seen that.
Of the newspaper on there, and you're going to kick yourself later for it.
Yeah. A lot of tricks, but again, especially over the holidays, when you're around family members and you've got pictures or artifacts and you're not sure, find out the story while they can. Or sit down and record people.
Yes, definitely do that, because then you have their voice, too.
That's something.
And I know with my grandparents, that's something that I wish I did, because I don't have their voice anymore. Yeah. And even if you don't have pictures, because I know we don't all have them, just ask questions. Talk about childhoods, or talk about favorite movies or favorite places to go, because that conversation is going to lead to another, and it's just fun. Good fun.
Yeah. Kylie Thompson here, the curator at the Fredericksburg Area Museum, famva.org, to find out about all the great things there. Facebook, too, has all kinds of information about upcoming programs, and we'll get into that, too, as we go along this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Kylie Thompson here. Kylie, you could come in. You could come in every week and we would have something to talk about. It's just so interesting, both on air and off air, talking to you about these things. We were just talking about exhibit planning and how important it is to have regular stories, because I think so often we figure, because I think I said, you know, I don't have anything that would be in a museum, but sometimes, you know, something from a diary or something from some kind of a family story that can be collaborated, that's what makes exhibits sometimes so powerful.
Absolutely. And as I was just telling you, that many people will just look at an object by itself and that won't, it won't do anything. It's not exciting. Not everyone's like me where everything is exciting.
Yeah.
But the second that you can put that narrative to it, so if we, for example, we just have a canteen, a Civil War era canteen, on the surface you're like, cool, it's a canteen, it's old. But then we know who it belonged to. It belonged to one of the Knox brothers, so one of five brothers who went to war. They all came back. There's this huge story. We have their letters. We have all these other things. And now it is so much more than just a canteen.
Yeah.
And when you have those little anecdotes and those little stories about, for example, I just did a podcast on the FMC plant. And then I went to an event HFFI was holding where they gave a tour of the plant and brought out all these artifacts. And it was so much fun hearing people come up and say, that knife that was used for cutting cellophane, I have eight of them in the kitchen drawer because they were brought home.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, that this is what we're talking about. This is what's important, because you're seeing that legacy. Even though the plant closed in 78, there's still this kind of like lasting memory
yeah.
that's going on. And how fun is it to go into a museum and be able to connect with an exhibit and to see something you
yeah,
know
totally.
And recognize and see yourself in a way, because that's what it's all about. It's, of course, about teaching about the past, but also reminding people that you're part of the past as well. Like, you know, in this moment,
yeah,
we are history.
No, and just it helps strengthen whatever. I'm sure at times when you do hear these stories and you're able to get something from a family member, and it just adds to something. It adds so much to an exhibit.
Absolutely, and there are so many times where I will look at the exhibit and I will say, okay, I have this artifact and this artifact, but this is the story that I'm missing.
Yeah.
I know someone experienced this. I know someone out there can talk about it. So everyone is worthy of being in a museum. So your story could end up in a museum, because it's just that perfect thing to encapsulate what someone was going through or what was going on in the world or anything like that.
Well, and I'm sure sometimes, because it's like me sometimes, of where someone will say, yes, that's what was going on, but I didn't think you'd be interested. And I'm always thinking, but I would have liked to have known and let me make that decision. And so sometimes if I see something at the museum and I say, you know, and I've got something that's tied to this area, you might be interested, you might not be interested in it, but at least you'd like
yes.
to know.
The worst I can do is say no, but I tell me also just because I'm genuinely interested, because
yeah.
I love stories and I love stuff and seeing all of this thing. So always ask. And I always tell people, I hate when people tell me what they've thrown away. Just at that point, don't tell me, because I'm going to be sad about it.
You're right.
And that's what, too, I think this is the perfect time to talk about the Fredericksburg History Archive. And what that is, it's a digital archive the museum has, because people were bringing me photos that they didn't want to part with, but they wanted to make sure they were preserved. So if you go to fxbghistoryarchive.org, you can actually upload photographs. So there's kind of a scope, you know, they got to be Fredericksburg or the surrounding area related.
Yeah.
But upload those photos, and we just ask you provide a little description if you know who's in it, if you know who's not, just dictate that. And that way, those are all getting saved. So we have family photos from last year on there. We have photos from 30 years ago. We have such an array of things, and they're all super important.
Yeah.
So for example, Clarissa Sanders at the museum, she uploaded photos of her and her brother at the Great Train Race when they were real little. And it's like, that's perfect, because I don't have a lot of those photos, but yeah. The Great Train Race is such a big part of Fredericksburg.
Totally.
So all of those matter. And you never know, they could end up on a panel in the museum.
That is, so it's fxbghistoryarchive.org?
Yes.
That's and that's where to do that. And like you say, anything works. And that's a great example. The Great Train Race has been around now, and so many people have memories of it. And someday it's going to be an exhibit.
Absolutely, especially as we come onto Fredericksburg 300 in 2028.
Yeah.
One of my dream galleries. So the whole museum is going to turn to Fredericksburg 300, but I want to do a nostalgia room. And I want to tap into those stories and those photographs, because I really want to pay homage to the locals and those things that make us go, oh, I remember that. And that's the whole idea with that. So please, those fun photos, even if they're not fun, still add them to the history archive, or send me an email, give me a call, stop by the museum and ask about your stuff, because everyone is worthy of being in a museum.
And again, like you said, some of the things you may not make it, but at least you can say no, or you may see something and think, you know, it may be a couple of years away that you're planning on an exhibit, and it's like that's exactly what I need
right.
to fill in a gap.
Oh yeah, and that's what too. Even if we can't take it, I'll help you try to find a place if you're trying to get rid of it. I'll try to give you advice, or you know, if there's some things we can't take because it would cost a lot to get them to a condition that's stable. Mm. So even if we're not able to take some things, I still want to make sure I can help you find a good home for it, or find a way to preserve it the best that you can, to make sure that it's that history is living on.
Everybody's job is something different in most ways every day, but boy, you're certainly is, just as you know, with what either someone brings in, or a discussion, or a search for something.
Oh, absolutely. And it's always fun when I get a call from the desk and it's like, oh, someone's here with an object. And whoever's at the desk never tells me what they have. I have to wait until I get up there.
As you rush to get there to,
like,
see what it is.
Be there in 1 second, throw the phone down, run up there. And even today, I'm going to go in and I'm going to work on accessioning all these things. And one of them, it is so cool. It is from the Princess Anne Hotel, and it's this big marble stand with all these hand-painted advertisements on glass, and it's from the 1930s, 1940s. So you see some familiar names, and you see some old names, but it also came with all this ephemera, like these advertising handouts. So you have little fans that say Bond's Drugstore, or you have a Coca-Cola ad, and it's just so cool. And just to go and be able to sit with that kind of stuff for a few hours, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get to share this with people. It's so exciting.
Also, if you have things from other parts of the country, we experienced this. Long story short, I came into possession of this, and had gotten it for free. It was this old pipe, and it came with a label that it was like the first pipe from this town in Michigan it had gotten water and sewer.
Oh, cool.
Back like in the 20s. I didn't want it anymore. I didn't even want it. But I contacted the town, and their local museum has certainly wanted it.
Yes.
And they paid to get it.
Just
to ship it. And so if you have something, see if you can contact somebody because there's a Kylie in a town somewhere that might say, you know, we'll pay the shipping if, you know, you want to provide that.
Absolutely, 1,000%. We've gotten things from Nevada and from California, from Washington.
They just don't know where it's come from.
No, and you'd be surprised what people have carried around. And a lot of times the story goes, I grew up in Fredericksburg, I moved, this needs to go home.
Yeah.
And what that makes me think of a doll that we got in, where she's like, she's so important to me, but she needs to be in Fredericksburg because it's a Fredericksburg story. And so, like you said, call those towns, call those local museums. We are always looking for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because like you say, as people become so mobile, things are spread out over the country. Don't just get rid of stuff.
Right, especially, and even like you said, if you have to ship it, ask about shipping, you know, because if we want it, we're going to find a way to get it. I drove to Pennsylvania to get an object once because it was a Revolutionary War musket. I wasn't going to ship that.
Yeah, right.
So I said, okay, where am I meeting you? All right, I'll be there, and drove up there to get it. It was the longest drive home of my life. I was terrified, but it was so worth it.
Yeah. You've got that thing in the car, and you want to make sure.
It's like, don't hit a bump.
Right. Oh, to be careful with it. One of the things that you're most interested in, I mean, textiles are a big thing for you. So many stories and so much history can be told with textiles, and you've done a great job of doing that.
Oh, textiles, they're so wonderful because when we say textiles, we're referring to clothing, blankets, crafts, hats, all of that stuff. Because first and foremost, it's so intimate. It's so important, and especially as you look back in time, if you look at the Depression and other, you know, different classes, clothing was everything to people because sometimes that's all you had for self-expression.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to preserve, but also so important. So I know everyone right now is probably like, oh, I have that quilt. I have that wedding dress. I have that old baseball cap. And there's ways to preserve those too. And especially if that wedding dress is turning yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it's a lot like photographs. You want them out of sunlight. You want them in those stable conditions.
Yeah.
So get them out of that cedar chest where it's in an attic or anything like that. And you can get acid-free boxes or even just wrapping it. The big one that I do is if you just go to the craft store or Amazon and buy unbleached muslin and just wash it without detergent, it's super cheap. It's like cotton. You can wrap stuff in that, and that's going to help protect it. So if you have a quilt, just kind of roll it in that muslin. And I say roll because anything you have to fold over time, that crease is going to become permanent. So rolling it helps prevent that.
Okay.
And if you have a blouse or something that's starting to get creases in the sleeves, you can roll up some of that muslin and stick it in there to help kind of puff it up a little bit. And I always have to talk about silk because silk was so popular for so long. Silk likes to tear over time because it's very fragile.
Yeah.
So if you have a silk dress and it's on a hanger, be careful because you may actually be pulling on that silk. So some things like to be stored flat or like to be stored rolled. So rolled. So it's always important to really look at an object and say, what are its weak points right now? Because that'll help you determine how to store it.
Gotcha. Well, and you've got dresses and Civil War things when you look at it, because everything is in black and white, but you see the textiles and you see the color and you just think they had colorful things back then.
Absolutely.
We just don't know it.
No. And one of my favorites, it's this 1860s blouse. We don't have the matching skirt. It kills me. But the blouse has these huge, thick vertical stripes and it's royal blue and brown.
Yeah.
And you look at that and you're like, there's no way someone was walking down the street in that. Yeah, they were. It is a bold statement even then. So it's so fun to see all that color because that was what people sought after. That's why you had in the colonial homes the bright blue walls and the pink walls and all of that. And before I get too far from textiles, I have to talk about wool. So you may pull out something, there might be little moth-eaten holes in them.
Yeah.
If you see any type of pest or bugs or anything, you can actually put that clothing in a bag, put it in the freezer for a while, and that's going to help kill the bugs. And then you want to take that out. So we have a few things that just from being in people's attics have a nice little moth holes eaten out of the back. It's like, darn bugs.
Yeah.
Can't stand them.
Interesting, though. But you can do something. You can do something that's easy to do. Kylie Thompson with the Fredericksburg Area Museum here, the curator, famva.org. When we come back, we'll wrap it up by talking about a couple of events coming up real soon that you might be interested in and getting involved with the museum. Kylie Thompson here. We'll conclude on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can listen to Town Talk anytime, day or night. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Wow, what a fun show. Kylie Thompson here with the Fredericksburg Area Museum, the curator of collections. Well, I said you're just one of the most fascinating people I know, and you have lived up to that, Kylie. This is just, we could go on for a couple more. We haven't even touched some of the other topics I thought, we'll talk about, but we're going to start doing this more and more, and in the future, we'll get to where people can text you questions, and we'll do that too, so you can answer things.
Thank you so much. I am so looking forward to it. This is so much fun, and anyone who knows me, my coworkers always say, if you go down there, do not ask any questions because you will be there forever.
Oh, it's true. I can see it is true because I'll sit there and I'll say, "What's that?"
Yep.
And you have the story. Before we run out of time, as far as some events going on, I know there's always things going on. And you always have programs going on.
Oh yeah, I guess first and foremost, I'm gonna plug our podcast. It's called What Remains of Fam Podcast, where every other week I do a deep dive on something in the collection. So, for example, I brought out cellophane last week, and we talked about the FMC plant.
Yeah.
You get the history behind it, and there's little snapshots, so they're 10 to 15 minutes long, so you can check that out. Thursday, December 11th, to mark the first day of the Battle of Fredericksburg, we're going to be doing a What Remains, where, I bring out things that aren't on display, and we talk about the history, and it's going to be all Civil War themed.
Mm.
So, for example, I actually mentioned this artifact earlier, but it's a walnut drop leaf table from 1820. It was at 119 Caroline Street, and it was owned by the family. And what's cool about this table is there's a nice chunk missing out of it because it was shelled during the battle.
Oh, wow. The things that table could tell.
Yes, because just alone, it's just a walnut table. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But then to have that piece missing and all of that. So we're going to be bringing out those kind of things and really diving into that story and looking at what Fredericksburg was experiencing. And we just have so much. There are so many stories to tell. So that's Thursday, December 11th from 6:30 to 8. You can keep an eye on our social media, our website, for tickets to go on sale for that. And then next spring, which I know I'll be back before then, but we have a America 250th exhibit opening. And that's April 3rd, so you'll be able to come learn about Fredericksburg and the Revolution and that lasting impact all the way up until today. So we have a lot of exciting stuff coming up.
So, and check out the Fredericksburg Area Museum. It is free. You can also there's ways that you can financially get involved with the museum, and there are just so many great exhibits there. I mean, you can just get lost. And you can't. The museum is you can go back and over and over and see something
yeah.
you haven't seen.
Well, even right now, for those who were there recently, the Fire and Rescue Community Spotlight came down. Music is going up, so you're going to see old instruments. You're going to see some exciting things from UMW, among other things. We have Link Ray's bomber jacket on display.
Whoa!
Yeah, so it is pretty cool, and that's always going to keep on changing. So even just coming to visit the museum helps support our mission. So please stop by, say hi, take your time. Even if you're on your way to dinner and just want to see one gallery, just come on by.
Oh, you can. That's the great thing about it. And do consider getting involved financially with the museum.
Yes.
Because you get involved there, and that helps it remain free, and to be able to just to see all the great things. It's such a great, when you have people from out of town, bring them to the museum first, because they'll get a great overview of Fredericksburg.
Absolutely. And like you said, every dollar helps. There are so many objects that I would love to get conserved, and any dollar helps me reach that goal. Paintings, furniture, you name it.
Yeah. Well, Kylie, thank you so much for taking time out, because you are a busy person with all that you have, and there's just so much history there, and we're going to do this much more of talking about how to preserve things and what's going on at the museum.
Yeah, thank you so much again. Always happy to be here.
Great to see you. Kylie Thompson, the curator of collections at the Fredericksburg Area Museum, famva.org. The Facebook page is great too, has all kinds of information. See about how to get involved with the Fredericksburg Area Museum. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.